Talk, talk to me.
Welcome to Comic Book Talk Radio with your host, Jason Miner.
Greetings and welcome to the April 3rd, 2008 edition of Comic Book Talk Radio. Tonight's show has something for everyone, and we're going to start things off by traveling all the way to Europe for our first interview. You might remember that a few weeks back we had on C. Hill, who discussed the movement of comics-related themes into art galleries, among other places. And tonight we have a practitioner of gallery comics with some interesting ties to a Silver Age artist. Mark Staff Brandel is an artist, corresponding editor for Art in America, and PhD candidate at the Universitat Zurich in Switzerland. Mark, I know it's late where you're at, so thanks very much for staying up to chat with us.
Well, thanks, too. It's great to be on your show. I love it that I discovered your show. Yeah, it's 1 a.m., but I'm awake. I'm sitting here in my Flash t-shirt. So
hey, very good. Very good. I actually have the reverse Flash t-shirt on today, the yellow one. So. Mark, let's start off with a question here for you about your history with comics. When did you discover comics yourself? And in Europe, what types of comics did you read?
Well, I wasn't in Europe. I come from Chicago, actually, or from Illinois. I've been in Europe for about 20 years now. I came here chasing my wife. She was then my girlfriend. And so I grew up in America with superheroes. I discovered it when I was about 11 years old. I discovered the Beatles and Superman at about the same time, and did the typical things. I collected 60s stuff, Marvel, DC, but everything, Gold Key, and so. And I have to say, my mom will listen to this. Thank you, Mom. She did not throw them away. I have all of them.
Oh, very good.
I had them all shipped here. I have about 5,000 comic books still, as well as all the collections, new and so on. But they're not mint, because I still, I read them as a kid and read them in the bathtub and so on.
Oh, hey, that's the way they should be treated, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You grew up, you had the superheroes. When you were young, what came first, your interest in art or your interest in comics? Were you drawing as a kid as well?
Yeah, I started really, and that's where the colon comes in, we'll talk about later. But I started just copying things and just loved comics. Comics by far were my main one. I grew up making comics every week with my two best friends, Gary Scholes and Thomas Emo Holmgren, which is interesting. Holmgren is now an important scholar of religion and literature, and Gary is a real comic artist and teacher of comics. And so that was what led me, and from there I wanted to be an artist. And was very influenced by Gene Colan. And I think it's very important for me to say here, too, for any of the fine art people who listen to this, it's important to aware that I developed from comics into fine art, not the reverse, as was true of most of the original pop artists like Lichtenstein and Warhol. And I think there's a lot of people like that now, and that we're not slumming, that this is a serious form of art to us, both parts. And we take it very seriously.
Yeah, Mark, and I've seen some examples of your work from your website. I should mention you work in different media, and that ranges from smaller works to works that take up entire walls sequentially, kind of showing a comic story on a wall in a gallery. So tell me about some of your works and the inspiration for them.
Okay, there's essentially two types of things I do. I call them panels and covers. Which is not always, the meanings of the words not always clear to fine art world people, but it's definitely clear to comic people. Panels are the panels, and covers are the covers of comics. The panels are wall installation pieces where I make large oil and acrylic paintings on canvas, which are hung and surrounded by additional painting directly on the wall. So the wall and its elements become a huge, readable, sequential kind of walk-in comic, like a corner or something. For instance, the one I did at the Kunstmuseum Kreuzlingen was about 35 feet long by 14 feet high, so it can be that big. And then there's the covers works, which I have stolen in the structure of covers, like we did when we were kids. You probably did, too, where you would draw a comic at almost exactly the same size, and I would, do the cut, and I was thrilled by lettering, because my father was a hand letterer. He was a sign painter. And so I still use that, but I use it for my own words. I don't cite. That's very important. I don't steal pieces like a pop artist would traditionally do. I make up all my own new stuff and just make kind of covers for comics that don't exist. And the panels, and they have this econo-sequentiality that C. Hill mentioned, which was great you had him on. And that is, that I use the structure of comics to tell a kind of a story, but it's also to be viewed all at once. And that was very influenced by things like, you know, Frank King's Gasoline Alley Sunday pages, where he would be all one picture, mm-hmm. like a house, but then also over that, an adventure, or Eisner did that with his spirit splashes and so on.
Certainly, and
I made up a word for that just because I love to do that kind of stuff, and made up this word, iconosequentiality, which is that it has the iconic presence like a painting, but is also sequential like a comic. And all comics have this, but no one had really pushed this into the fine art world, and I thought I was kind of a genius for doing it and all this, and then I realized other people are doing it as well. And then, of course, when you stop and think about it, you go back, and the Sistine Chapel is the same thing. So such a genius I'm not. But, yeah, I did realize, though, that this was an important discovery, I think, of comics, that they didn't treasure as well as they should have, really. And so if you would stop and think about it, if you could get a Kirby drawing as big as the Sistine Chapel, it would blow the socks off most fine art. And that struck me, I'm going to do that. I'm going to make these things that size and that effect and use that and have both. And in fact, I've come to the feeling that comics could save fine art.
Well, there you go. Mark, you've mentioned, and you've alluded to it, Daredevil and Dracula artist Gene Colan, yep, as a mentor of yours. How did that relationship come about?
Well, when I was a kid, I copied every panel. I have a great stolen, I think I was 12 years old, and I stole the cover to Daredevil fighting the Trapster and switched it to My Hero Micro fighting the Soviet Enforcer.
Right.
And I would steal all his panels. And then later, much, much later, when internet started up and so on, I sought him out, found his website, and contacted a few people. And there were some really interesting people. Gene and his wife, Adrian, have become very good friends of mine. And Tom Field, who wrote that wonderful book on Gene Colan called Secret in the Shadows, and some others, a philosopher in Italy and so on, were organizing a list, a discussion list. And so we all got together and we started talking to Gene weekly. And that's been going on for ages. And things just kept developing. And I mean, I showed him and he did drawings for me and I keep stealing from him. And at one point I basically said to him, Gene, can I just say you're officially my master? Because, you know, the art world doesn't like that much. They don't like having heroes. You're supposed to be very ironic. And so, and when I say, oh, this is my master and my hero, they about drop their pants. And so it gives me a certain amount of joy. Oh, and by the way, that you should get that book, Secrets in the Shadows, from Field if you get a chance. I wrote the afterword, so I'm a little partial. But it's a beautiful book, and he did a wonderful job. Yeah.
Yeah, and we've got about 30 seconds left, but as we head into the second segment, if you'd like to stick around, Mark, I want to talk a little more about Gene's influence on your work, because he was really part of the second wave of Marvel Comics artists, and it's very distinguishable from a Kirby or a Ditko, and just...
very unique, yeah.
Yeah, we'll chat a little bit more about that, and then talk about some more of your artwork theory as well. So, Mark Staff Brandle, an artist, corresponding editor for Art in America, and PhD candidate at the Universitat Zurich in Switzerland, will be back with more Comic Book Talk Radio in just a few minutes. Please stick around as we continue this conversation, plus much, much more before we reach the end of the program. So we'll be back soon with more Comic Book Talk Radio.
Since its humble beginnings nearly 40 years ago, Comic-Con International has focused attention on comic books and related popular arts. We do this primarily through our conventions and events that celebrate the historic and ongoing contribution of comics to art and culture. Showcasing comic books, science fiction, movies, and related popular arts forms, the convention has grown from a small gathering of 300 fans to over 100,000 attendees, fans, exhibitors, and professionals who meet each summer in San Diego for the annual event. In addition to the giant Comic Con, we are also responsible for two events held in San Francisco each year. The first is WonderCon, Northern California's largest comics and pop culture convention. And the other is the Alternative Press Expo, the premier gathering of fans and creators of independent, self-published, and underground comics. For up-to-date information on all of our events, guests, programming, and special announcements, visit comic-con.org. That's comic-con.org.
It's never too late to join the Internet revolution. All you need is your own website. WebsitesForFunOrProfit.com is a GoDaddy reseller, so you can reserve your .com name for about $8 a year. Then you can set up your own website, including hosting, for less than $5 a month. It's time to let the world know you've arrived. WebsitesForFunOrProfit.com makes it easy to create your own website. And for a little more, you can add a shopping cart to start selling your unique product or service. WebsitesForFunOrProfit.com provides great 24/7 customer support and a wide range of internet tools to help you look like a real pro. For your family, business, little league team, or nonprofit, you can be your own webmaster today. Visit WebsitesForFunOrProfit.com. That's WebsitesForFunOrProfit.com. See you on the web.
When it comes to spam, remember the old saying, time is money. If you're spending more than 5 minutes a day deleting spam from your inbox, then we have the solution for you. Simply visit nomorespamever.com. Now, we know that's a bold statement, so come to nomorespamever.com and get a free 30-day trial. We want you to see for yourself how our patented process works. It's simple, really. Once your email is set up, an automatic request for verification email is sent back to senders. And because spam is automated email that often comes from bogus email addresses, the spammer never gets the verification email, and you never get spam. Of course, you load your friends and associates' email into the program so they get through. But from the rest of the world, you're protected. To get your free 30-day trial, visit nomorespamever.com. That's nomorespamever.com.
What is your destiny? How are the stars aligning for you? Knowing these important answers and more is just a mouse click away. Visit chartsreadingsandmore.com, a site filled with the information you need to live your life to the fullest. Your free sample destiny reading is just a few steps away. Based on your birth date, this free sample gives you unique insight into your destined path. After you have read your sample, go beyond the basics by purchasing your full-length destiny reading with insight into past incarnated experiences, future challenges, and your current life's focus. We also offer your numerology one-year forecast, a detailed guide to the 12 months ahead, any time of year. At Charts, Readings, and More, you'll find a free newsletter, daily email horoscopes, as well as special discounted offers. Your destiny is waiting for you today at chartsreadingsandmore.com. That's chartsreadingsandmore.com.
Talk to me.
Welcome back to Comic Book Talk Radio with your host, Jason Miner.
Thanks for joining me for our second segment of Comic Book Talk Radio on this, our April 3rd, 2008 edition of the program. We're continuing our conversation with Mark Staff Brandle, who is an artist, a corresponding editor for Art in America, and a PhD candidate at the Universitat in Zurich, Switzerland. And in our previous segment, we had just started to chat with Mark about the influence that Gene Colan had on him and how Gene became a mentor of his. We were talking about, Mark, the difference in Gene's style, and it definitely didn't look like, if Marvel had a house style in the 60s, Gene Colan didn't look like that. Much stronger use of shadows and really an atmospheric sense of storytelling and maybe even sort of gothic as well. Was it that distinct look that drew you to the style, or did your discovery of his work just fall into a time when it was kind of that golden age of collecting for you as a child growing up?
Kind of both, but I think it is the important thing with him, and I can talk about Colan for hours, so you have to stop me, but it's his uniqueness. He's really loose. He was one of the few artists who was really loose in a very traditional art historical sense, I have originals of his, and his, you know, his pencils, you've probably seen him. He was the first artist to be reproduced directly from pencils. They're even better than when he's inked, and it looks like Manet or Velázquez or Tiepolo or these greats of art history. And so as a child I had it, but I also liked it later. Yeah, and he was not really in the house style, and he was one of the few at that time who didn't copy Kirby, although he definitely was as great, and Kirby is fabulous. I love him too. And he continues to improve. He, now at 80 plus, he actually draws amazing, better than he ever did, better than me. I'm still trying to catch up. And I think this is also kind of morally important in a way. There are too many fine artists, in my opinion, nowadays, who are incompetent and faddish slaves of curatorial fashion trends. And too many comic artists who give in to being hacks of corporate product or whatever. And Cohen was never really either. Although he existed in the corporate world, he managed to really be himself. I think this is amazing and something for everybody to look at.
And Mark, another thing that I really am interested in relation to your artwork, is the typography that you involve in your pieces. Because, since computers can do lettering now, I don't know if it's a dying art form, but it's certainly, something that people might take for granted. You know, when typography or lettering can ruin a panel when it's going over artwork, but why is typography so important?
Well, I don't think it is ruining it, actually, funny enough. I think in comics, it's actually the computer joined to hand lettering, because usually it goes back and forth nowadays. You know, the fonts are made from hand lettering, and I think it's actually improving. It's ruined it in other places. It destroyed sign painting as an art, and
sure.
Then sign painting popped back up about a year after it was destroyed as graffiti. So it won't disappear, but it is. I'm really interested in lettering, I want to say, not text. Text is used a lot in the art world, just meaning some letters on the wall or whatever. I like the kind of working class aesthetic of being a good artisan, of doing hand lettering. My father, Earl Brandel, was a sign painter and a display window person and so on, and my mother, Ruth Brandel, was also that, and so I was very inspired by them. And also, I became very inspired by Howard Ferguson, and I would like to ask your listeners, if they know anything about him, to contact me through my website. Howard Ferguson was an African-American who was the main letterer for Simon and Kirby. And Jack Kirby called him the greatest letterer ever, and if you see old reproductions, he was fabulous. And I think it's just really, it's a way to get, one of the ways to get artisanship, ability, back into fine art, if you can really show just the competency of doing it, but also mixing it with computers can come with some pretty interesting elements, I have to say.
Do you like the mixed case that's becoming a little more predominant now, then, upper and lower case, as opposed to the all block letters?
Yeah, what I like most of all is just when they use it highly creatively. I still use all block letters and so on when I do things, but I love the effect of making word look like what it is. The word fire looks like fire, that's on those sort of things, or see-through sound effects, or all those kind of combinations of visuality and reading, which I think is the important thing I've learned from comics for fine art, which is that in comics you essentially read pictures and view words. And so it's a strange Creole mixing of effects.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that in a little more detail, because your website explains that about the Creole theory of artwork. Break that down in a little more detail for me.
It's kind of a funky word, I know, but it's actually no longer just meaning Creole culture, the real Creole culture from the South. And so it's now an anthropological term, which just means mixing diverse cultural traits and in a complex process of borrowing and lending. And I'm very much against purism, and a lot of modern art was this purist thing, that it had to be the only painting could only be painting and so on, and I'm not going to go into it. But the philosopher David Carrier, who wrote the first real book on the aesthetics of comics, called The Aesthetics of Comics, says that he thinks comics are inherently an impure entity, and that is some of the resistance to them. And I think he's right, and I think the in-betweenness of comics is important for social, psychological, even ethical implications. It's very American in that way, is that we are a mixed culture struggling along. Rock and roll is half European and half African, most of American culture is half African. This is, I think, something you notice a lot in our culture, both the troubles with it and or the difficulties in the struggle, but also the richness of that. And I think that's what makes comics so really important to the future of fine art, is showing a way to go out of this march of history and so on into this more anti-purist, just mix it and make it work aesthetic.
Yeah, and that's something that I see in your work, is there's sort of a touchstone for comics readers to understand art, and maybe a touchstone for art scholars or students of art to understand comics, if that makes sense. Is that a conscious decision when you do your pieces?
Well, thank you very much. I hope so. Yeah, I do hope so. I am trying to do both those. I am one of those so-called damn intellectuals, you know, as you saw with the PhD and so on, and write for Art in America. But, you know, I've also written for the Kirby Collector, the Comics Interpreter, the Comics Journal. So I must be trying to reach out to people. And I still read comics. But I also read James Joyce. I love the highs and lows of culture. I just hate the middle. I hate the boring middle. I don't think comics are low anyway, but people call it that. So when I use that term, I don't really believe it. But I think we can, but I think the both of them need something. Comics needs a little more ambition. They need to get out there and get beyond corporate product thinking. But art history is almost in a worse position right now. It's very manneristic, and it needs some power, and it needs some balls again. It needs to get some ability back in and some strength. So they can show each other what to do, I think.
Mark, I've mentioned that I've really enjoyed checking out your work, and I want to make sure that we get the time to have you mention where people can go to learn more about your work. What's the URL we can send people to?
Oh, that's my website is www.markstaffbrandle, all three of my names, .com, all is one word. I have such a strange name anyway. If you Google it, I'll show up with Mark with K and Brandle, B-R-N-T-L. I also just peer all over. I write a lot kind of art world critical stuff for sharkforum.org, shark like the fish, shark forum, where I, with the fabulous painter Wesley Kimler, we are taking on the art world and doing some serious criticism. So I appear a lot in those places. You mean as far as shows and so on, too? Or
do you have any upcoming gallery events?
Quite a bit, but it's not a lot in America. The next things in America is in September and October. I'll be at the Cranard Art Museum, which Hill mentioned, in a show that Damian Duffy and John Jennings organized that has Spiegelman and Chris Ware and so on in it, which is nice. I'm doing a big installation.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
It's the first time I've been a mostly comic show as the fine artist. I'm usually the kind of comic guy in the fine art show. Then in a year later, I will be in Peoria, where I was born, in Illinois, in the Contemporary Art Center doing an installation. I'll be in the Architrove Gallery in Chicago and Werkzwei Gallery in Zurich and a few other things like that.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mark Staff Brandle. We'll be back with more Comic Book Talk Radio after the break.
Send your press release over the wire yourself and save. PR Newswire, the global leader in news and information distribution, understands the challenges of small business owners. So they've put together a free PR toolkit to help you send out your own press release over the wire. Just like the big guys, log on to senditoutoverthewire.com and get free press release writing tips and distribution information. PR Newswire directly delivers your press release to all the major media outlets like the Associated Press, newspapers, TV and radio, and to over 3,600 websites like Yahoo, MSN, and AOL. Your press release is then accessible to millions, including journalists and general consumers. In addition, this network is offering a free annual subscription to PR Newswire, a $125 value for free. Learn more at senditoutoverthewire.com. That's senditoutoverthewire.com. Information, news, and entertainment on demand. Log on, listen, and learn.
Spend more time with your pets and less time at the pet store. Let's face it, you love your dog, cat, bird, or fish. They are not just pets. They are a big part of your life, and they deserve the very best. If you have never ordered online before, We can save you time and money at OnlinePetCareProducts.com. We have everything you need at up to 50% savings compared to retail stores. That's 50% less, and your pet care products are delivered right to your door. The high-quality products your pet deserves. We carry just about everything, and our site is simple and easy to use. Log on to OnlinePetCareProducts.com. That's www.OnlinePetCareProducts.com. And see how we can save you time and money. We carry everything from collars to feeding supplies to prescription and non-prescription medicines. And you sure can't beat our prices. That's www.OnlinePetCareProducts.com.
Introducing DoItYourselfAudio.com, the fast and easy way to add your own voice or audio on the Internet in minutes for business or for fun. Listening to audio on the Internet is getting more and more popular. Now, with DoItYourselfAudio.com, it's fast and easy for you to add your own voice or audio to your websites or use it to send audio emails. It's simple and easy. All you need to do is log on to DoItYourselfAudio.com. Provide us with your name and email address, and then you'll be given a phone number and a PIN access code. Call up the number, record your message, and hang up. Within seconds, you'll have an audio link on the Internet with a recording you just made. It's simple and fast. There are no programs to download or equipment to order. Try it right now and hear yourself on the Internet. Visit DoItYourselfAudio.com. That's DoItYourselfAudio.com.
Hey, eBay sellers. We've got an exciting new eBay feature from DHL, the world's leading express delivery company. Here's how it works. Simply click on your eBay sale, choose the Ship Rush option, and with a few mouse clicks, verify the address, print a shipping label, notify your customer, and start tracking the package. It's just that easy. In fact, the only thing Ship Rush doesn't do is pack the box, but we're working on it. To add this eBay selling feature to your computer, just go to wsradio.com/DHL. In minutes, you'll be up and running with ShipRush. Save time, save money, and receive great feedback with fast deliveries from DHL. Add ShipRush from DHL to your computer today. It's free at wsradio.com/DHL. ShipRush. One more way DHL is putting customer service back in shipping.